in the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul, the epistle taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to afflict some of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with his sword, and seeing that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to take up Peter also. Now it was in the days of the Azims, and when he had apprehended him, he cast him into prison, delivering him to four files of soldiers to be kept, intending after the Pasch to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between these two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shined in the room. And he, striking Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And the chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird thyself and put on thy sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And going out, he followed him, and he knew not that it was true, which was done by the angel. But he thought that he saw a vision. And passing through the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gates that led to the city, which of itself opened to them. And going out, they passed on through one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And Peter, coming to himself, said, "Now I know in very deed that the Lord has sent his angel, and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." So we stand up to hear the most holy gospel. It's taken from St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus came into the quarters of Caesarea Philip, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man is?" But they say, "Some John the Baptist, another some Elias, another Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Jesus said to them, "But whom do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answering said to them, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but to my Father who is in heaven. And I say to thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And to thee I will give the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth, it shall be bound also in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, it shall be loosed also in heaven." The words of the most holy gospel, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can take a seat, dear friends. Well, today is a great feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. It's a commemoration of the martyrdom of both of them. And the church always has been celebrating in a great degree of the ceremony, with solemnity, to remind us the fact of the gospel of today and the great importance of the papacy, the authority of God on earth, and that the Catholic Church is founded upon a rock, which is Christ. And this rock, our Lord delegated that to be the rock to St. Peter. Out of himself being the rock, our Lord himself being the rock, God himself, the eternal God, the divine, eternal power of God, so the rock by himself, because he said many times, he said, I am the cornerstone upon which is built up everything. So this concept of rock is very important, because Archbishop Lefebvre decided to consecrate bishop also in these dates, and priest in Econ also. He chose this date to remember that we are founded upon the rock, a rock, which is Christ, and the authority of Christ, which is the papacy. And whatever comes from the papacy, which is the authority, the jurisdiction of the bishops and the priests upon earth. This is very important, because this is to be found upon a rock. So this is, I think, this is precisely the problem who has been developing in the last 60 years upon the Christ of the Church. What happened? Let's make the simile, the parallel with this rock, the concept of the rock, St. Peter and our Lord Jesus Christ. Archbishop Lefebvre explained that the only one who was not invited to the Vatican II was the Holy Ghost, because they didn't want to define anything. They wanted to be just a pastoral council as an excuse to change the whole of the doctrine of the Catholic Church, and eventually change sacraments and the practice and discipline of the Church, or the rules of the Church, or the laws, the canon law, and the religious life and the priesthood. So what happened? Vatican II, basically, by betraying God and setting a doctrine built up upon the rock, which is the divine tradition, built upon St. Peter and our Lord Jesus Christ, they set up another religion, built up not upon the rock, but upon sand, worldly, human work of sand. Our Lord had that in mind when he said, when a house is built up upon a rock, nothing can overthrow it, not even the winds and the hurricanes and tornadoes, because it's founded upon a rock. It was our Lord says in his explanation. But he who builds up upon sand, is any wind, any catastrophe overthrows easily that house, and he said the loss is complete, nothing is left. So Vatican II did that, building up upon sand, a human work. So the winds of the devil, temptations, the world, of course came, and it's a disaster. Everything was thrown down to the ground. It's a human work, in such a way that people realize until now, upon seeing the consequences of seeing the fruits, seeing the results of the Vatican II, they see now the complete disaster. Nothing of grace, nothing of fruits, nothing divine being taught or given. On the contrary. So this is extremely important, because Archbishop Lefebvre was very clear that we were not making a new church, a parallel church. So we were just doing what our Lord St. Peter and the popes have been doing. So that is to keep on the rock, building up, even if the authority is building somewhere else. That is the point. The authority God left on earth is building up somewhere else. So our Lord was very, very clear. upon this rock I built up my church, so we cannot move from out of the rock. You see? Tradition. Yes. All the Holy Ghost leading the church through centuries, the magisterium, the dogmas, the extraordinary magisterium, cannot be left out, cannot be moved, cannot be modified, cannot be destroyed. So as usual, if it was clear, I am not the one who is leaving the church. Those who are leaving the church are the modernists. The moderns are leaving the church out. So this concept is very important. Why? Because there is, for example, the Ecclesia Dei organizations, like St. Peter Fraternity, and Good Shepherd, and Christ the King Institute, who said, we cannot be outside our mother, the church. So they just went for the appearances. For us, what we see as the church is the hierarchy. They didn't see the doctrine, which is the rock of our Lord, the dogma, the divine things transmitted to us. They only saw the appearances of the church being on sand, being built up by the hierarchy of the church. So they said, no, we have to be with them. So they were not looking for truth, they were looking for someone to follow. So, lack of prayer, lack of discernment. So they didn't stay on the rock. They went out of the rock and they were destroyed also completely. Eventually they had to say the new mass and to betray our Lord for being out of the rock. Because only in the rock we had the Holy Ghost, the Church of God, and therefore grace. Remember that. Keep in mind that in this explanation. So, after that, on the other side we have the Sedevacantist, who said, okay, according to the appearances, the authority of Christ, the Pope, is building up in a different way. He's not building up on the rock. So he cannot be the authority. This is the problem with the Sedevacantist. So they basically say, well, because he's building up in a different place, so he's not the authority anymore. Wrong. Because the one who plays the authority is God. The one who decides who is authority, who is not, is God. Even if he's building up in a different place, between the church and our Lord, the only one who can say he's no authority anymore is God. It's very important, eh? I will attend upon here, this point, because the Psalms and also the religious orders and the rules of the orders and the gospel says very clear that God has placed men upon our heads to lead us to heaven. So basically, the first commandment and obedience is obligatory because we must see in the authority God, Christ Himself leading us. We must follow. We cannot remove it. It's exactly what the feminists are doing. Okay, this man is incapable, this man is useless, so we remove him. We choose another authority. It's the Sedevacantist spirit. Because he's not fulfilling his duty, we remove him. We look for someone else. This is feminism, but this is Sedevacantism also. Nobody can remove or change or switch authority. Why? Because authority is divine. It's divine. It's built upon the rock. The God's decision of giving to St. Peter, God is the one who decides who is going to be Pope. It's not the people. So democracy is a falsehood. It's an error. It's a heresy. To say that the people grants by their choice, by the vote, the power to someone. No. One is chosen, the way is chosen. The one who grants authority to that chosen person is God. The power comes from God directly. Any authority, the father of the family, the priest, the sheriff, the governor, the president, There is the power from Christ. Once it is acknowledged as such by the majority and the way it is usually chosen. And no one can remove that. Just to tell you, so when the Cristeros came, the Cristeros war came, the question was whether the Cristeros could kill the president, Calles, who was precisely trying to install the revolution into Mexico. And the Jesuits said, told the Cristeros, because this man is destroying the Catholic Church and our faith, and in order for us to remove the president, yes, we must be capable of replacing it, and God blessing us by His grace. Once it's a matter of faith and morals, if we are capable of replacing the bad president, it was the power, the resources, the people, the soldiers, the means to do it, we can remove him. And God will bless that. Yes. But we have to be capable of replacing that in order to be the will of God, in the case of the presidents, the governors. And the Cristeros fulfilled that requirement. Why? Because they have 70,000 soldiers already. They have 12 states on their hands with sheriff and administration of the states. And they had the means, the support of the rich people, many rich people, Catholics and bishops, and they were winning the war, the Cristeros. So that was permissible to remove the tyrant, to settle a Catholic ruler, that happened in Spain in civil war. So the communists took the country, and Franco had the means and the power and the help of God to remove the tyrants and to settle a Catholic country. But you had to be able to replace it with the blessing of God for a reason of faith and morals. There's no other way. It's why they had to ask permission to the bishops to ask them if it was the blessing of God to remove the president, had to kill him. You need the blessing of God, the permission of the bishops, and to be able to replace it. So it's why a pope, nobody can replace it but another pope or God himself. You see? It's why the false solution of the Celebacantist. He's somewhere else building, so we remove him. It's like someone who commits adultery, and the wife will say, no, he committed adultery, so he's removed from the family, he's no father anymore. It's of course not. It doesn't work like that. No? Because only God can say that, can do that. So, and later on, when Archbishop Lefebvre dies, the SSPX did the same mistake. With the influence of the Masons, of course. They were infiltrated by the Freemasonry. So what happened? The same. Bishop Fellay was very clear. He said, our mother is the church, which is being built up in the conciliar church. We had to go to her. We had to be with her. Basically, following the appearances of being the hierarchy, apostate hierarchy, building up in a different place from the rock, looking the authority over there, building up something else that which is not God's will, only by that appearances of being seeing the authority building up somewhere else, they went over Rome today. They worked with them, they received permission from them, they built up with them outside the rock. This is the SSPX today. This is why they don't have grace, and we have to place them in red light. Because they are working with the enemy. They receive permission from the enemy. So they have ordinary jurisdiction from the enemy. We who are on the rock, we receive jurisdiction, have permission to do what we do. We do receive it directly from Christ by supply jurisdiction. Yeah, because authority being in apostasy, in heresy, and not doing God's job, God's orders, at that moment the church enters into a state of necessity. And automatically the priest who remains on the rock, standing upon the rock, they receive the permission directly from Christ. He's our bishop. Because the bishops are building up somewhere else, compromising the faith. It's why we are standing here in this moment, in this house, in this chapel. Because we want to be standing upon the rock. This is a very important concept. Yusen has the opportunity of speaking with the Lutherans recently, because they were in a home. And they were surprised about this teaching, because they thought that St. Peter's being called rock, they believe it, that concept applied to our Lord only, not to St. Peter. But it's obvious that it applies to St. Peter. Why? Because St. Peter, his name was Simon, the son of Jonas. And our Lord changed his name to Peter, which is rock. Or Cephas. Cephas in Aramaic means rock. Cephas. So it's obvious that our Lord transferred that concept of rock from himself to St. Peter. Yes. And the church is built up there, all the popes until the end of the world. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is why we cannot be fearful. If we are only a handful on the rock and nobody is with us, not be fearful, because the Holy Ghost and God promises will be with us. But you have to keep an eye upon what is happening, to be vigilant. Yes, and not to be deceived. So we have to know our doctrine. We have to know our doctrine very well. We are obliged to keep studying our doctrine, not to be deceived. Exactly what many Catholics are not doing. For example, the SPX, what is he saying? He said, just trust in us. And don't follow any other but us. So that is saying, follow us, don't be vigilant, don't be watchful. Our Lord never said that. Our Lord said, watch and pray. So, you know, someone who is watching is looking around, knowing who the enemy, they try to investigate who is the enemy, how they act, and trying to dig into the doctrine of the enemy, to know how they lie, how they deceive us, who will deceive us. And also have to know our captain, our Lord Jesus Christ and the Blessed Virgin Mary, to know how they want us to act, how they want us to be obedient, how to be protected, how to be keeping and studying and watching and praying. Exactly what we have been doing, what we try to do. God, with the grace of God, we will keep doing it. We are faithful, no? But you might wonder, what about the faith resistance, no? Bishop Williams and his group, well, they are friends of the enemy. That's it. They start recommending Novus Ordo. They start pulling people up towards Rome, because they said that miracles can happen in the false church built up by human on the sand, by humans, by not condemning the ecumenism of the SSPX with Rome. Mm-hmm. All those reasons, the fake resistance, they are friends with the enemy. And our Lord said, he who is not with me is against me. So you cannot, if you have one foot with the enemy, one foot with our Lord, it's not possible, it's impossible. You are in the side of the enemy. You are not with our Lord's army. It's why you are just very few. We are a handful. But it doesn't matter. It's no question of numbers. It's a question of faithfulness and to trust in our Lord. He's the one who is leading the church. Remember, it's the Holy Ghost. Is the other temptation to say, okay, we are standing on the rock. Now I want to act according to my knowledge, my prudence, in this way, wrong also. How to act according to God's ways, which is usually the cross, persecution, martyrdom, suffering, patience, longanimity. So basically the fruits of the Holy Ghost, great charity, heroic charity, what we are supposed to be doing in order to persevere. This is why even we cannot follow the example in the practical level of other saints, because the one who is leading the church is not the saints, it's God, it's Christ. Who may be leading us towards martyrdom, we don't know. Maybe leading us towards persecution, we don't know. Very probable. But we cannot force the hand of God. Because I tell you, the main error is that many are tired from the fight. Because we are human, but we stop fighting, we stop trusting, we stop believing in God, in practicing charity. Therefore, people traditionally are tired. Therefore, they stop fighting, and they like consolation, they like security, human security, fortitude. So they go into they look into the enemy camp, how goodies and cookies and attractive things are in the enemy camp, and they try to make a deal to enjoy things we are not supposed to be enjoying, and to stop and to rest when you are supposed to be fighting and you are resting. You stop studying, stop praying, stop watching. Especially when you start falling. Because instead of fighting and trusting in God and do it, we don't have to be strong. We just have to be trusting in God. Our strength is God, no us. We are nothing. So we are just keeping our job, which is be faithful to our Lord in our duty of state, watching and praying and fighting. So this is why I really believe that the main problem is lack of faith and confidence in God, and therefore lack of love for our Lord. We like other things more than our Lord, or too much consolations and have pity upon us too much. This is why we don't fight, and our Lord doesn't rely upon us in many things, and we are in danger. So this is this teaching may remind us, dear faithful, about our duties of trusting in God, watching and praying. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.